Take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 1.
Revelation chapter 1. I mentioned this morning that tonight wanted to begin kind of a summer series on the letters that were written to the seven churches in Revelation here. And I think this would be a profitable study for us here in the summer. And then, Lord willing, in the fall, my thought is that we'd go back to studying the book of Genesis. We went through the life of Abraham. That's basically Genesis 12 through 25. And then I'd like to just pick up and continue on in the book of Genesis on Sunday evenings in the fall. But like us too, in the we have about eight weeks left in the summer, and that's about enough time to cover these seven churches, hoping to cover each one of these churches. And then tonight, I want to share some thoughts just that will introduce us to those churches from mainly from Revelation 1, and just sort of surveying the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, the letters to those churches. But to begin with, I'd like us to read some of the scripture here. I'm going to begin reading in Revelation 1, and I'm going to start in verse 4. Revelation 1, 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. As we consider looking at these messages given to the seven churches, I'd like us to think about the fact that they tell us about what churches need most. And I want to just point out three needs that churches have as we see in the scripture and as we survey these seven letters. But the first thing is Churches need awareness of their situation. I think the messages to the seven churches in Revelation remind us that churches need awareness of their situation. These were letters that were written to actual churches in the past. They were written to churches in specific locations. We read about those in verse 11 of chapter 1. Jesus Christ identifies each of those specifically and their cities. And they were written to those congregations there in those locations. And all those locations are in what we would now know as modern-day Turkey, I believe. Western Asia, we have some missionaries that are serving in that region. The Studdards are there in Western Asia, that same region that these churches were located in. They were churches that were affected in various ways by the setting in which the Lord had placed them. Some of the churches that we'll consider were persecuted churches. Some of them were affected in various other ways. But I think the message that we can receive from that is that churches need to be aware of that. How is it that our culture is rubbing off on our church, on us as individuals? The same was happening to these churches as well. So they were churches that needed awareness of their situation. They needed awareness of the setting that they were in, and they were in a specific setting, written to a specific church, and yet it's obvious that these churches are intended to be representative of churches everywhere. These were messages that were intended for a specific location, but they are intended for all churches. If you look with me at chapter 2, there's a repeated phrase that occurs in each message to each church. And if you look at chapter 2, verse 7, you see it occur the first time. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And that encouragement is repeated for each message for each of the seven churches. And what does that tell us? These are messages for everybody. Everybody that has an ear, let him hear. Everybody should hear these messages. And so they're representative of local churches and the needs of local churches. They show us that we need to be aware of our situation, the setting that involves the location. Each church is addressed to that church in a location. And it's also significant that these are letters that are addressed to churches. Churches need awareness not only of their setting, but they need awareness of their existence as a church. And that's what these letters do, I believe. They encourage us to remember that. They encourage us to be aware of the importance of local churches. And this is an obvious fact, but each of these letters are addressed to local churches. They are not addressed to Christian radio broadcasters. They are not addressed to Christian schools. They are not addressed to Christian families, as important as they are. They are addressed to churches, local churches. And that's an important fact that we need to consider, the importance of the local church and the place of the local church. And we just see that importance as we see these letters. You know, I'd like to hear a Christian radio preacher preach a good message on the importance of the local church. I don't know. I'm sure they do, but that'd be great if they would do that. And, you know, I guess that's all I'll say for now, but, you know, that's not the same. The radio preachers do not take the place of the local church. The radio ministries, the TV ministries, and it's It's a ministry, but it's not the same as the local church. And these letters show us the importance of that. We need awareness of the church situation. These letters also remind us about the main functions of local churches. And we see that especially when here in chapter 1, we see described what John saw. Look again at verse 12 of chapter 1. John says, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And then jumping down to verse 20, these symbols are interpreted for us directly. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. We see here a picture of the church's function as John sees it. He sees these seven candlesticks. And we see the interpretation. Those candlesticks each represent a local church. And that same imagery is used as we read the messages to these churches. But what's the purpose of a candlestick? What's the teaching there? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 tells us that directly. Matthew 5:15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We see in the symbolism of these letters, the picture that's used of the church here is a candlestick. The purpose is to give light. And somebody has observed that the candlestick doesn't have the light in itself. It's itself is not the source of the light. The church itself holds the light. It gives out the light, just as a candlestick would. And we do that in a number of different ways in our behavior. Philippians 2 reminds us, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, it says. So the function, one of the main functions of the church is to be a candlestick, to hold forth the word of life, which is the light. And that's something that we do individually, but it's also something which is our corporate function as well. Together as a church assembly, we hold forth the word of life, which is the light. And so we see the function, a reminder of the function as well. And then we come to the reality of the angels of the churches. We saw this mentioned here in chapter 1, in verse 20. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And if we read the letters, we see that each letter is addressed to the angel of the church of Ephesus, chapter 2, and the angel of the church in Smyrna. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, and so on. What is John writing about? What is Christ talking about when he talks about that? Of course, the word angel is the word that refers to the spiritual beings that serve on God's behalf, and that's the word that's used here. And some people have said, well, that's what the church has. Each church has a guardian angel. We know the reality of guardian angels, and maybe that's what it means. But when we look at these messages, we see that those angels are included in the rebuke that's given to each one of those churches. And if these were guardian angels, unfallen angels, there wouldn't be a need for that. And so it must refer to something else. Some people have said, well, this refers to the spirit of the church, the personification of the spirit of the church. And, you know, when we look at that interpretation, you know, it doesn't quite hold up because we just observed that the lampstand is the figure of the church itself. The candlestick, the lampstand, that's the direct interpretation there. And another possibility would be that these angels are actually human representatives of the church. And when we look at the word angel, we see that it actually can be used of people as well. Another use of that word can refer to people. James chapter 2 and verse 25 uses that word angel to refer to the two spies that came in and that Rahab protected there when they went in to see Jericho. It calls them by the same term. And I think that's really the best possibility for what the angels are. They are human representatives of these churches. Perhaps the leaders, perhaps one of the leaders of these churches, included in the messages, in the rebuke that's given, taking responsibility for the actions, for the needs of that church. And I think what we see here is the fact that we need to be aware of the responsibility of leadership of local churches in these letters. God has a specific message for the leader of that church, for one of the representatives there, perhaps one that would take that message back to that church, perhaps one that would serve in the group of leaders there in that church. So the responsibility of the leadership of the local churches, we see awareness of that as well. And then we see the reality of the Lord's presence in local churches. Notice in John's vision here, in verse 13, he says, "In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with the paps with a golden girdle." But notice it says, "In the midst of the seven candlesticks." We're reminded there about the reality of the Lord's presence in local churches. He is the one who walks among the churches. He is the one who's present in their midst. He has a direct relationship with each church, with each local church. He knows the needs of each local church. And the reason for that is that he's the head. He's the one in charge. Ephesians chapter 1 is one place that reminds us about that. "He hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So we need awareness of our situation, our local situation here, but we also need the awareness that these letters give to us of the importance of the church, the importance of the local church, the function of it, the responsibility of the leadership, and the reality of the Lord's presence in our midst, in the midst of the churches. And that leads me to the second thing that churches need attention to that we see in these letters as we just survey the each of the seven letters. They need awareness of their situation, but churches need attention to the Lord. Churches need attention to the Lord. When we look at these seven letters, we see that, at least in my Bible, it's all red. And what that means is Christ is speaking. Christ is speaking directly to these churches. It's His Word. We need attention to the Lord's Word. We see as we look at these letters that we need attention to the Lord's omniscience. One thing that reoccurs in each of the seven letters is the phrase that we see in chapter 2, verse 2. I know thy works. Each of the letters contains that reminder. I know thy works. God knows what we do as a church. God knows what our needs are, what our failures are. He knows each church, and He evaluates each church. And all these messages are messages of evaluation by the Lord. Here's the good thing that you did. Here's what you need rebuke for. He evaluates each church. He knows each church. So we need attention to the Lord's Word. We need attention to the Lord's omniscience. We need attention to the Lord's character. Each of these seven letters reveals something about the Lord, something different, something that church particularly needs to know about the Lord. God starts out with that. Christ starts out with that revelation. He begins there in chapter 2 to Ephesus. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And then you come down to Smyrna in verse 8. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And then verse 12. These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. And in verse 18, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. We need attention to God's character, and that's what's revealed in each of these letters. Churches need to know the Lord. They need that above anything else. Attention to the Lord is always part of the solution to the problems of the church. And that's what's revealed in these letters. Attention to the Lord. Churches need attention to the Lord. I was reading about a man who had a son whose birthday was coming up. And he said, "Son, what do you want for your birthday?" And he was expecting a very specific answer. Aisle 6, Toys R Us, right-hand side, there it is. That's what I want. But his son said, "I want a ball. A ball." He said, "What kind of ball do you want?" He said, "Well, I'd like a football if you're willing to take the time to play catch with me at night. But if you're too busy for that, I'd like a soccer ball because I can play soccer with the kids in the neighborhood." And the father went back and told his wife. And they saw that the son's attitude was that what he really wanted was to spend time with his dad. And that needs to be the attitude of the church as well. What we really need is to spend time with the Lord. That's what these messages teach us. What we need above anything else is to know the Lord. We need to know Him. And we tend to get confused as to what our true needs are. You know, we start to think, well, look at our church finances. We've had a lot of shortfall in our finances over the past 2 years or so. And we can look at that and say, we need money. That's what we need as a church. Our finances are going down and we need money. But that's not what we really need. What we really need is the Lord. We need to know the Lord. Reminded of Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to know Him. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. And that's what these letters help us to do. So churches need awareness of their situation. They need attention to the Lord. And then the third thing is churches need admonitions from the Lord. Churches need admonitions from the Lord. And when we see the focus of the admonitions here, you know, it's interesting to note, as we read here in chapter 1, verse 4, that the whole book of Revelation is addressed to the seven churches. You know, it's not just chapters 2 and 3 and then everything else is for someone else. The whole book was addressed to them. Verse 4 of chapter 1, to the seven churches which are in Asia. That's at the beginning before he gets into the messages for each one. It was all for them. And that reminds us that churches need the general admonition of God's Word. They need the whole book of Revelation. And maybe we should just go right on and finish out the book. I don't know. But churches need the whole counsel of God. They need everything that God has said. And they need that. But when we look at these messages, which is what I'm hoping to focus on in the next several weeks, we see that they need some very specific admonitions as well. And some of the same things are repeated in each of these letters. Sometimes the order is mixed up, but some of the same admonitions are repeated. And they're specific things. But they are practical things for that church. And we see that the church needs the practical preparation before they get into that prophecy of the future, which is what the rest of Revelation deals with. What's more important than that is to deal with the issues there in chapters 2 and 3. And then once we've dealt with that, go on to the prophecy. Deal with the practical things here in the present Jesus Christ addresses there in chapters 2 and 3. Somebody said there's always a tendency in the human heart to become occupied with the dispensation in which we are not. And, you know, prophecy does have an appeal. You know, what's going to happen in the future? Well, the book of Revelation tells us what's going to happen. But before we get there, there's the messages about the present and the practical needs in the present. And that's a reminder for us today. That's what we've got to deal with right now. And there's the practical admonitions. And so as we read these letters, we see there's some rebuke. Jesus says, I have this against you. There is some encouragement. This is what you've done well. Good job on this. There is some instruction. Here's what I want you to do next. And there are some promises. Here's the promise that I give to the overcomer, the one who's faithful until the end. And those are precious promises that the church needs as well. So churches need awareness of their situation, they need attention to the Lord, and they need admonitions from the Lord. They need the general truth of God's Word, and they need some specific things as well that the Lord says to these churches. So as we consider these messages, may the Spirit of the Lord speak to our church as He spoke to these churches in the first century. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that You would allow us the opportunity to study these messages. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would speak in our church as well. We thank You that You do walk in the midst of the candlesticks, and You walk in our midst as well. Help us to be aware of that, that You are the one who knows our works. You know the good things, You know the bad things, You know what we need to improve. And we pray that You would call our attention to Yourself. Help us to focus on that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals.